Hola, hola, bienvenidos. Este es su programa
Charlando con la Raza.
Y estamos aquí mismo en Food for People. Vamos a visitar las instalaciones, vamos a conocer al equipo, a la familia de Food for People y vamos a ver en el banco de comida qué sorpresas nos tienen. Food for People es de verdad una selección de productos, de los mejores productos. Es una cadena solidaria, son gente voluntarios, es gente dispuesta a ayudar. No tengan ni miedo, esto es gratis, es de verdad, confirmo, compruebo. No tengan vergüenza, es un servicio, comida no es un privilegio, es un derecho. No se pierdan esta hora de Charlando con la Raza en Radio Bilingüe. Está aquí La Voz Andina, hola.
Hola, hola, ¿cómo están? Espero que todos puedan tomar atención y tener sus apuntes. Estaremos hablando y explicando todo sobre Food Bank y todas las oportunidades que muchos de ustedes necesitan para conseguir comida aquí.
La reina binacional, Xochitl Cabrera.
Hola.
Nos arrancamos.
This is our on-site choice pantry, so people can come in once a month to do a shopping trip. So people can come in and do a shopping trip. This pantry, we emphasize choice, so people can go through, pick the foods that are going to work best for them. So it reduces food waste, but also gives them the dignity of being able to choose what they are going to use, what they like, and what they can cook. So people can come through. It's based on a nutritional system. They do a quick intake interview. Juan here helps out with intake quite often. It's a self-certification process, so we ask them to bring some form of like mail or library card ID, something just to verify the amount of people in the household, but that's really it. It's self-certification. So they do their quick intake interview. We'll screen them, see if they're eligible with CalFresh or any other services we might be able to connect them with, and then they get to shop on through the pantry. We try and emphasize healthy foods, fresh produce, and fruit, you know, when possible. We have contracts with lots of great people. Farmers glean and give us extra produce quite often, and lots of stores donate as well. So if you guys want, we can move on this way. So this is our kitchen. It's mostly used by our nutrition education. Matt here is our nutrition education coordinator. He prepares taste tests, demos to get people to try new foods, think of how they can use the produce they're getting here in creative ways. Today he's doing some fancy zucchini bites with some goat cheese and other things that we happen to have in the pantry right now. So he's in the process of cooking those. He'll put them out in the choice pantry a little while so people can taste it and hopefully take that with them.
Yeah. Smells delicious.
Oh, no, it smells amazing. And Matt will also go out to a lot of our other programs with our senior distribution, mobile produce pantry, and that. So we're getting these taste tests out throughout the community. So this is what we call our mid-warehouse. This is where we process most of the food to go into the choice pantry. You can see we have lots of palletized food here. We have produce. Our local store recovery program will drop off food directly here. We have a driver who goes to all the stores throughout the area and picks up extra food and brings it here. And that program actually, it benefits the stores. It diverts about 500,000 pounds of food waste each year. So they don't have to pay to waste that. And then we can also get the food to people who will use it. So it's a great program. This kind of area is where we warehouse most of the food. So this is the hub for a lot of our countywide programs. We have other local nonprofits who serve low-income communities who can come and shop through, which is what's happening here right now. We have volunteers who will help us sort produce, break it down into crates so it's usable in the pantry. You can't actually tell, but those bags and those little pickers back there are for our gleaning program. So we have a pretty extensive program where we have volunteers and staff who will go out to farms and glean extra produce. So like that weird little cage thing is an apple picker. We go out to lots of local orchards, home backyards if they have extra apples in their trees, and we bring them back and use them for our programs. Other things that come out of our warehouse hub here, we have our senior programs. So we have programs that target specifically seniors and homebound individuals. There are 16 sites throughout the county where seniors can come pick up, but we also have a network of volunteers who will drop off food to senior and homebound individuals who can't leave the house to go get food. We have our children's programs, so that's Backpacks for Kids, which is a weekend hunger relief program for children where we send bags with enough meals for 2 breakfasts, 2 lunch, 2 dinner, and snacks home over the weekend. So if they're having food insecurity issues at home, they have enough food to get them back to school. In Humboldt County, I think right now it's 53% of children qualify for free or reduced meals while at school. So the burden of producing extra meals on weekends or summer can be a lot for families. So our other program, Children's Summer Lunch Program, is at 20 sites throughout the county. Children 18 and younger can come just get a free lunch. That's really all there is to it. We partner with the Humboldt Senior Resource Center. They actually make the lunches. We bring them all here, we get them packed into coolers, and then we distribute them. We have some pretty unique partnerships. The Humboldt Transit Authority and UPS actually volunteer to transport to the more rural areas. So Willow Creek Hoopaw, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, takes those coolers out, and Humboldt Transit Authority takes it south to, that's like Scotia area. Without their help, we wouldn't be able to reach nearly as many sites countywide because Humboldt County is very spread out, and there are lots of people who need help all over. I think that's it for the children's programs. The other thing that's housed back here, Mike, are you here? So Mike is in the corner. And Mike runs our mobile produce pantry. So that is a refrigerated truck that we take out on a monthly schedule to the more rural areas in the county. So Orleans, Wichipec, all over the county to places that may be considered food deserts. So they don't have many stores or many choices, especially when it comes to fresh produce. So Mike goes, he sets up a very nice like farmer's market style distribution. People can just go up and come on through and pick what works for them.
We just try and get as much variety as we can. Like Carly said, a lot of these places are food deserts, and they have to drive up to 20, 30 miles to a grocery store, actually. So,
with that program, we go there in conjunction with the MEV, which is the county's mobile outreach vehicle. So they can connect people with services there, but also like Juan and Heidi and our outreach team will go along and help connect people with services. So since people are already coming for the food, we're hoping to get them connected with as many services to help them as possible in one spot. And the other fresh produce specific program we have is our free produce markets. So that runs May through October, and that's at 4 sites countywide. We have one here at Food for People. There's one in Fortuna and Garberville Redway. And that is kind of like a free farmers market style distribution, but on a larger scale. So people come out, it's a nice day. We try and have music, taste tests, other things, so they have fun. And they can just come through, get free food, get connected with services.
What about that one, that last one? You say May, October, because it's the season where you can have these products fresh, I can imagine. And when it happens in the plazas or where is happening?
Those happen, so the free produce market, we have one here. It actually happens in this alley. We block off the alley. We put, it's huge pallets of food. People can come through and pick it up. And I will get you the schedule of the rest because I don't have them in the top of my head.
So you talk a lot about your services. Do you? And I know you have someone who is directly able to speak Spanish. So you do have bilingual services, right? So,
yes. Yeah.
So that's really important, especially since we try to reach out to a lot of the Latino communities. And I know that earlier we're talking about like how you kind of get enrolled into the program, and you were asking about like an ID or something. And I know that there's a lot of folks here that like, you know, come from different areas and don't have that. Are they still able to get access to food even if they don't have like some sort of documentation, or if they don't have a household, or if they don't have like an address that they can, you know?
We're really flexible. For almost all of our programs, it's self-certification, so they just come sign up. For some of the USDA programs specifically, we do need to, you know, track how many people are in a household, but we're really flexible on that too. You know, it could be a random piece of mail or just something with a name on it, really. And that's all we need. And that's really just if you want to expand the number of people considered in a household.
Yeah, because even someone earlier came in today and they just showed a certificate of their marriage. And so just showing that type of identification definitely works. So like Carly said, we're definitely flexible. So,
and like our pantry here, we have bread and other stuff always available in the lobby. So if someone can't come in for a shopping trip or something, they can just pop in, grab something free, and take it with them if they need food immediately that day.
With respect with volunteers, they need to just to come here and help, or?
We have about 400 volunteers per month who come and help out at all of our different programs. So there's volunteer opportunities here at our partner sites throughout the county, and it's all a little different. We do have a kind of like an orientation process where people will just come learn about the programs, what they're supposed to do, sign a photo release waiver if they're willing, you know, just that kind of process. But it's really simple. We do that every Monday at 2:30 here at our site, but we're really flexible with people's schedules.
At our campus, it's Humboldt State University. We have like the OSNAP program. Is that in any way like connected to Food for People, or is that an entirely different program?
It is different. We helped when they were starting up that pantry, the on-site pantry at HSU, but they have their own grants and funding that they do to keep that going. So we help with advice when and if they need it. And there's also an additional pantry out in Arcata, if that's more convenient for students or anything like that, at the Arcata House Partnership. So it's also very accessible.
You mentioned 400 volunteers, so that's a big number. That's incredible. How many people volunteer in general, like providers and everybody here? How many in the family of Food for People you think you have in this year, for example?
That's a tough question to quantify. We tried to figure out how many partner sites we have just for distribution alone, so that doesn't count like the volunteers or the service groups. Just for distribution alone, we had 96 partners throughout the county, so that's a lot. And then beyond that, if you brought in all the different groups that come to volunteer or donate in some way, we're probably creeping up to the 1,000 mark, I'd say. So we have a very connected community and a very generous giving community, which is what makes all of this possible.
Yeah, it's just so here in Eureka located.
So Food for People, this is our main site in Eureka, but we actually have a network. So we have pantries, like kind of like our Choice Pantry. Everyone operates a little differently depending on space, refrigeration, what they have, but they're actually countywide. So we go all the way up to Orrick, down to Garberville, Redway. We have pantries out in Scotia, Dinsmore, Bridgeville. So there are actually sites throughout, just depending on schedule and when available. It's all available on our website at foodforpeople.org. So if someone's in a community like that and not sure what's available, they can go on there and find out.
The original idea, when did it start?
Food for People was started as a small pantry, actually in a house in 1979. So we're going to be reaching 40 years next year. I don't actually know the name of who it is now that you ask. I'm going to have to find that out. But our executive director right now is Ann Holcomb. She's been here for, I want to say, 17 years now, so good continuity for that. And she's really guided us through a lot of expansion. Like I said, it started off with, I want to say, a 900 square foot house in Eureka. And then about 20 years ago, they moved into this warehouse space. So we went from 900 to 9,000 square feet. And as you can see, we're actually pretty packed in tight now, and we're actually looking for additional offsite warehouse space. So we've shepherded Food for People into a program that really reaches the whole county, and we're constantly looking at creative ways to meet the need that we're seeing.
Traducir lo que pasó.
Yeah.
Sí. De antemano sí quiero decir que no soy un buen traductor. Yeah, pero más o menos sí como bilingüe. Sí intento lo más que pueda. Yo soy el outreach special, creo que es como promotor de estampillas de comida, but it's CalFresh. Le cambiaron el nombre, so, pero yo intento de ayudar a la gente con eso. Hace unos días le ayudé a una muchacha que quería ayuda a médicos, pero gracias a Promotores, que es un grupo que nos conectamos cada una vez al mes. Y ahorita hoy están haciendo un meeting, una junta, que no pude ir porque estoy aquí. Pero gracias a ellos podía mandar unas personas ahí con ayuda de médicos o lo que sea, y conectarnos así. So, no nomás hacemos, you know, CalFresh Outreach o ayuda con aplicaciones de comida de estampilla, sino que otras cosas, lo más que pueda, porque a veces sí es un poco difícil con el español aquí. Creo que yo y otra persona a lo mejor sabemos un poco, pero ya. Yeah.
So, has mencionado que además de ayudar con aplicaciones de estampillas y de comida, ¿hiciste otros servicios médicos? ¿Cómo, a qué te refieres a eso?
So, alguien me estaba preguntando de por qué su esposo tenía problemas con acceso medical y todo eso. No tiene documentos, no puede recibir medical por eso. Entonces, una señora que trabaja en St. Joseph, Marcelina, ella me pudo ayudar a conectarse con alguien que puede ayudarle a recibir todavía los médicos. Entonces, a eso me refiero de otras cosas.
Oye, Juan, ¿cuánta gente viene aquí que habla español y que únicamente habla español y requiere tu servicio al mes o al día? No sé.
¿Sabe qué? La verdad no sé. O sea, aunque sea 3 personas al día. Because when I do intake, you know, I do definitely get at least 3 to 5 families that come in preguntando por ayuda en español.
Me gustaría saber quiénes son los que podrían venir acá, o sea, cuánto de sueldo tendrían que tener, o cómo es la posición económica, en qué posición económica ellos deben estar para poder venir acá a recibir la comida.
Ya, eso es basado en income guidelines, que también dependiendo en cuánta gente está en su familia, en el hogar. creo que dependiendo también es like self-verified, like Holly was saying. So lo que nos diga, we, you know, we don't judge and we don't verify specifically with documents. So apenas tengo gente que si viene, when I do outreach, no saben entonces que la gente, cualquier persona puede venir a usar nuestros servicios. Porque si piensan que es la gente que es bien pobre y no tiene dinero, pero regularmente son personas que a veces no pueden ese mes o otro mes. So, no nomás es, you know, you're homeless around here, or people who, you know, can't make it on the daily basis. So.
Sí, quería saber si también hay algún, como una conferencia quizás donde ustedes hablan sobre, porque hay gente que pueda tener vergüenza de venir aquí a recibir esas comidas. ¿Hay algo así que ustedes promueven también?
So dependiendo en las personas que yo ayudo, de Cowfish Outreach, de Comida de Estampillas, no hay vergüenza. Hay muchas personas que vienen por nuestros servicios. No más hay personas de que no tiene hogar, que no tiene trabajo, sino que también personas que viven al día con trabajo y que tienen a lo mejor dos trabajos y todo. So, y tienen familias que dependen de ellos. So, y sí tienen hogar, pero también ocupan comida. So, ayudamos a cualquiera persona.
Y yo estoy de acuerdo, porque la comida no es un privilegio, ¿no?
No.
Entonces todo el mundo tiene derecho a poder recibirlo. Qué bien, gracias.
I think it's uncommon. This is why people is like, what is food for free and it's good food? We can see in every stage that people is selecting the products, like the team here with the apples and with the entire diet, and you are worried about that and healthy food anyway. So for people, this is very weird to hear, like, what? No. There should be take something from me, or what is this about? Or maybe they are going to take money, and I hope no money. I don't, or like you were saying, this is they are going to think that I am the poorest people. I don't know. This is just this shame and fear together, facing this not typical service, you know, like this chain of solidarity and people just be ready to help. So I want to say, people that is listening in español, vengan, porque Food for People es de verdad una selección de productos, de los mejores productos, es una cadena solidaria, son gente voluntarios, es gente dispuesta a ayudar. No tengan ni miedo, esto es gratis, es de verdad, confirmo, compruebo. Esto, no tengan vergüenza, es un servicio, como decía Johanna, la comida no es un privilegio, es un derecho. Así que vamos a compartir con Juan, con Carly, con toda la familia de Food for People este servicio. Y de verdad, yo lo puedo decir, estamos aquí como detrás de cámaras, en el backstage. Estamos backstage y les puedo decir que el equipo está funcionando como en las mejores compañías, organizados, tienen los productos apilados por nombres, tienen etiquetas, vengan, es un buen servicio, es de primera calidad, y le quiero dar la palabra a las compañeras por si quieren decir algo.
Pues yo igual pienso que también la comida es un derecho, y eso de lo que estaba hablando Johanna, del estigma que tiene pedir servicios que son para el público. Y la verdad es que igual no hay que tener vergüenza por necesitar o por querer comer saludable, porque a veces, aunque queramos ir al súper y comprar comida, a veces se nos hace muy caro comprar productos que realmente tampoco son muy saludables, porque muchos de esos productos son exportados del sur de California y otras áreas en donde la comida es tiene muchos químicos que no son tan saludables para nuestros cuerpos. Y en vez de tener eso, tener que pagar por tener esas comidas, podemos venir aquí a esos servicios que nos dan comida gratis y que es más saludable porque es orgánica, o porque, gente de, como estaba diciendo Carly, que a veces hay personas en que tiene sus propios árboles de manzanas y ellos mismos los traen acá. So, pienso que es mejor, y es, como que todo se queda local, entonces los productos no se van a la basura. So, eso también es algo muy bueno. Y pienso yo que aquí en Humble, siento una persona que ha vivido aquí por mucho tiempo y ha visto los statistics de quién realmente es, con lo que se dice, houseless, o quién realmente tiene food insecurity, que es algo de que se habla demasiado en Arcata y en Humboldt County, y los estudiantes que no tienen para comer o cosas así. Y los números realmente son mayores de los que pensamos. Like, la mayoría de gente realmente sí necesita ayuda, para de comida y así, pero pienso que por ser clase media, lo que se dice, a veces pensamos que no necesitamos esos recursos y realmente sí los necesitamos. Y pienso que está en nosotros mismos en aceptar que estamos necesitando un tipo de ayuda, no necesariamente la permanente, pero como dijo Juan, a veces si un mes no te alcanza para comprar lo suficiente, puedes venir acá. Y no es algo para de lo que tenemos que tener vergüenza, es más orgullosos. Estar orgullosos de, you know, to have outreach y de conectarse con su comunidad. So.
Yeah, igualmente quiero mandar a todos mis hermanos latinos para que vengan aquí. La primera vez que yo vine aquí con Brenda era increíble, de verdad. No podía creer que quedaban con frutas, verduras, todo fresco, ¿no? Y eso es lo que muchos de nosotros necesitamos. Más bien estoy agradecida por gente como Juan, Carly, y también por los voluntarios que vienen aquí a ayudar. De verdad, estamos muy agradecidos por todo lo que hacen. Y creo que eso es una oportunidad para nosotros también para que podamos tener buena nutrición. Los niños a veces necesitan, ¿ok? Estaban explicando que ellos también dan programas para niños. Entonces creo que es buena oportunidad para venir aquí y hay mucho que aprender, ¿no?
One of the things we're always trying to combat is the perception that, you know, food bank's not for me or something like that, but really we want to be here for anyone. There are people who like fall on that cusp of making just over whatever the guidelines are, but if there is someone who's struggling, say you had an unexpected medical bill, you know, car broke down, and suddenly you can't make ends meet, we want people to be able to come here and get the resources so, you know, things aren't blowing up somewhere else in their life. The food resources are here, so someone has to prioritize expenses. We want this to be here for anyone and everyone. If they are over the guidelines, they still can come in and we'll figure out some way to help. So
I came here in the week of my birthday, and the person in the entrance says, oh, you need a cake. So he came here by, he bring me a cake, and I was almost on tears. This is a family, and we need to spread the voice about how is people here, how people receive us as part of this, as I say, solidarity chain. And we are not only proud, we are grateful, and we are happy to be here.
Thank you. Well, thanks for coming, and thanks for being a partner and helping us share what we have.
Thank you.
This is the director.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Sochi.
Nice to meet you.
Johanna.
Yeah.
Brenda.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
We're serving about 12,000 people every month through our programs. But this is kind of the mothership right here, the hub. Yeah.
Do you have some sort of like mission statement that you go by, or just something that you carry on as you've been here for such a long time? So is there something that, like, obviously the people that, you know, that you feel that keeps you motivated, but is there something that like helps you like continue growing and like wanting to continue to expand your resources and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's really not looking at it just providing food for today, but looking at what the root causes of poverty and hunger are, and how can we work at an advocacy level to address those issues? How can we engage the people we're serving and advocating for themselves? For one of the things we've done over the years is working with the CalFresh program, really working with the county to change their processes and make it easier and more welcoming for people to apply. Obviously, not just our county offices, but state and federal regulations and so forth, too. So that's been a great evolution. And Humboldt County was like the fastest growing county in terms of enrollment once the county started working with community partners to get the word out. But we have a really strong focus on good nutrition too. We don't want to just give people junky food that's not going to promote good health. We want to make sure it's healthy, that people understand the importance of a healthy diet, and that we make it really easy by providing lots of fresh fruits and vegetables and food that they will know how to use. We do cooking classes, and Matt does great stuff in the kitchen with trying recipes and sharing them with everybody to give people ideas for what they can make and stretch their dollars and so forth. So those are kind of the fundamental pieces, you know, providing good food, making it easy for people, treating them with dignity and respect, but also making sure that we're doing that advocacy, helping to engage everybody that we're working with to see the bigger picture and how we move towards a stronger community for everybody.
It's amazing you work here for a long time. So would you like to share any experience that you have?
Well, it's kind of funny. When I first started this job, I had never set foot in a food bank before. And about the first month in, I said, oh my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? Because if I screw this up, a whole lot of people are going to go hungry. and I'm going to feel terrible. I was really fortunate that the outgoing director took a lot of time to provide training and support. And then the other thing that was so helpful was going to visit other food banks and talking with other folks, particularly directors of food banks in rural areas like ours, because we're totally different from the big city food banks. We don't have big semis running around and, you know, a gazillion staff and so forth. So that was one of the really great things. And getting to know this community, because I was new to the community at the time, and just figuring out who the best partners were and, you know, seeing that there's a lot of great creativity and resources out there. It's just up to us to put it all together in some kind of magical formula.
Thanks, Anne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's inspiring. Thank you so much, because it's growing. And we're being part of this. We are as a beneficiaries. We want to say thank you personally. Thank you so much.
Well, it's all one big community. We have to take care of each other.
Yeah. One thing I did forget to say is we do have a Spanish section on the website. So if people are looking, you know, there is that resource available.
So Carly nos estaba mencionando de los servicios y estaba comentando que en su página de internet de Food for People tienen una sección en español. So si ustedes quieren acceso a los horarios o a otros servicios, pueden ir a esa página y poner la opción en español.
Foodforpeople.org.
Y también ahí pueden accesar CalFresh applications, aplicaciones para comidas estampillas también. So lo que ocupa ahí va a estar en el website.
Bueno.
En los farmers markets, las marquetas de granjeros, creo que se dice, que tenemos en muchas partes de la ciudad. Tenemos como 3 en Eureka, uno en Arcata, uno en Fortuna, creo que ahorita. So lo que pueden hacer es usar su EBT card cuando agarren estampillas de comida. Le dan una tarjeta. Y si usan eso en el farmers market, le pueden dar hasta $10 más por usar su EBT ahí. So, por favor, usen ese servicio porque es, take advantage of it, you know. It's a great,
entonces,
great program.
Entonces, si yo tengo un food stamps card, ¿no? Voy donde y...
There's like a booth stand in most of the farmers market. It should say CalFresh or EBT. And then they just take it there. They give you little tokens, moneditas de madera. Y ya, te dan hasta $10 más por usar el EBT, por comprar comida ahí. So, y eso es cada vez que quiera.
Muchas gracias.
Uh-huh. And so the samples were good, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lots of garlic it smelled like, huh?
Yeah.
I love it.
Mucho ajo.
With some sriracha on top.
Oh.
I'm always looking for the spice. I don't know.
Like it's spicy.
Good, but I need
spicy. Spicy so chill.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Cuentan que en Oaxaca se toma el mezcal con café. Cuentan que en Oaxaca se toma el mezcal con café. Dicen que la hierba le cura la mala fe. Dicen que la hierba le cura la mala fe. A mí me gusta el mole, que soledad me va a moler. A mí me gusta el mole, que soledad me va a moler. Ah, Oaxaca, con agua es el chocolate. Cuentan que en Oaxaca, con agua es el chocolate. Dicen que en la fiesta.